Hey, everybody. Cash Patel is here. Is Trump going to be indicted by the Department of Justice? How about Georgia? We talk about the National Guard and debunking some of the things that have been in the media recently. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Take out your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support The Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And please tell your friends about The Charlie Kirk Show. We deeply appreciate it. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We're here with the legendary Cash Patel. What's up, Cash?
Oh, it's great to be back in Arizona. I love it.
Yeah, so you're campaigning. Tell us about it.
It's going so well. I tell you what, we got America First candidates. We were in Tucson last night with Blake Masters, the next senator from the state of Arizona.
Amen. You just had him for a full hour.
Yeah, we had Abe out there and Kerry Lake as well. The crowd was ridiculous.
So tell us about Abe. I haven't endorsed Abe. I don't know him that well. We get some emails from people. They're not so crazy about him. Tell me about Abe.
Well, here's the reason I like Abe, because of his military background, his experience overseas. He's actually been a prosecutor in the pits, which to me, maybe I'm a little biased,
right? Yeah.
Being an actual prosecutor, not being a high level guy who's done the work. And, you know, and I told him, I'm happy to endorse you, but, you know, you're going to have to hold up your end of the bargain. And his biggest bargaining point was, I'm going to go down and take on the cartels in Mexico. And for Arizona, that's a big thing.
That's everything, right?
To declare them a foreign terrorist organization, which I haven't heard a single other state attorney general candidate say they would do.
Yeah, he better get armed security.
Well, you know what? I believe that he's going to do that, and that's why I like Abe.
So Kerry Lake, Blake Masters, and Abe are here who you're supporting?
Yeah, all three of them.
All right, so I want to ask you now, we'll talk more about politics and stuff in Arizona. So what do you think are the chances that Donald Trump gets indicted by the Department of Justice?
Zero.
Not the case. Zero.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
So Liz Cheney did us a solid. She came out the other week and tried to extend the false January 6th narrative. And she basically went on TV and said Donald Trump did not order the deployment of the military on January 6th. And I said, thank you for exonerating the president of the crime you've been trying to charge him with. It is illegal for a president of the United States to order the domestic deployment of the military. What the president did, and remember, this is Liz Cheney, Armed Services Committee, vice president, was her dad was vice president, and SecDef during the LA riots in 92, where they launched the National Guard. The president can only authorize the National Guard. That's been proven. Liz Cheney knew that. She was specifically asked about the authorization on Fox, and she dodged it and went to the order to get her false political narrative going. And everybody picked up.
So this is a semantic game, order versus authorize?
I mean, if you're talking about legal prosecution, that's the
game. But wait, no, hold on. But I think they're investigating him for other incitement or what is the DOJ investigating him for?
Insurrection incitement. So the way you get those.
Where is that in the code?
It's from like 250 years ago. So, I mean, basically.
Not insurrection, but the incitement of insurrection.
Yeah. So it's all one. So
250 years ago.
Yeah, the key crime is insurrection, right? And to order to do an insurrection, you have to order the hijacking of a military or militia type unit. It's been now proven in the DOD Inspector General report and by Liz Cheney that President Trump authorized the military.
Wait, so let me get this straight. So if he would have ordered the National Guard, even if they were there to protect Congress from people, they would have been able to kind of create this argument?
It would have never happened because me and the SecDef wouldn't have been an unconstitutional order of President
Trump.
But
he could do it under the Insurrection Act, can't he?
He'd have to claim that he was following the Insurrection Act, and he flat out said he wasn't doing that.
Yeah, he didn't do that during BLM either.
No,
right. So, but we don't know what they're going to try to charge for.
Sure, they're gonna keep grasping at the narrative.
But I think we're talking about two different things. You're talking about how weak their case is. I'm asking whether or not they're going to indict. Those are two separate things.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to indict him.
You really think they're going to be still anchored down to those pesky facts?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you have to step back. I know the DOJ is so corrupt and you're talking to a former federal.
No, that's where I don't trust anything they do. Yeah. So I'm trying to differentiate between reality and what the DOJ has become.
What? and I'm with you. I just don't see how they indict him for this crime. I'm with you, but it's just not legally there. They would be literally upending posse comitatus.
What is that?
It's basically what we've been talking about. It's a law, and the Supreme Court has upheld it from 250 years ago that literally says there can never be a domestic deployment order of the military by the president of the United States. And it hasn't happened once in our history.
Well, but they, you could do that with the Insurrection Act, though.
That is, so we're talking about, yeah. So what we're talking about is like kind of one and the same thing. Posse comitatus is like the law. Insurrection is the violation you would do if you violated the posse comitatus.
Right, because HW deployed the military for the King riots, right?
Yeah, but what he did, here's a great point. Who was the SecDef at that time? Dick Cheney. What did Dick Cheney do? It's been proven now in the media.
No, I don't know.
H.W. Bush authorized the National Guard. Dick Cheney took that authorization.
It wasn't just National Guard. It was the military, though, wasn't
it? Well, that's what it is. Okay. When you use the military domestically, it's the National Guard.
Okay.
So, and it's been borne out by John Solomon's great reporting. The H.W. Bush authorized the National Guard for the riots. The SecDef went to the L.A. prosecutor, the L.A. County Chief of Police, and the California governor and said, do you want them? And they said, yes, we're making that request now. Then they deploy the troops.
Got it. So it's not just the president who imposes it.
No. It's a multi-step process. Like the local governor, like in Arizona, it'd have to be the governor or the state AG or something like
that.
And
this is a sovereignty question, basically, right? That the president just can't deploy the military on people?
It's a sovereignty question plus a, I mean, we're going way back in history. We never want our government overthrown by a military, right? Which is why we have a civilian chain of command, which is why the president is a civilian, which is why the SecDef is a civilian.
Wow.
Those are the national command authorities. That's it. That's the chain of command. Two civilians, no one in uniform. That's why we differentiate ourselves from
that's
when
fascinating.
We broke off
so
Great
smart.
Britain.
And so then martial law would be what?
I mean, I guess a similar form of that where you have somebody hijack law enforcement / military style people to come in and say, we're taking over.
So Liz Cheney revealed that she's trying to use this order versus authorize distinction. What?
She's just trying to perpetuate the narrative because everybody in America is like, oh yeah, Donald. Now they're saying Donald Trump didn't act on January 6th. And I'm like, yeah, he didn't need to. I didn't need to call him. He told me 2 days beforehand, you want 20,000 National Guard? You got him. What did Bowser and the Capitol Police say in writing? No. We are not requesting the use of that National Guard.
Why do you think Bowser said that?
She thought, A, she didn't want to give Donald Trump credit for anything, obviously. And B, they probably thought they could handle it on their own, which is a gross mistake. And then you have the Capitol Police who report to Nancy Pelosi, same thing. They don't want Donald Trump authorizing anything. But you have to remember, Charlie, put it in perspective. These are the same people that excoriated President Trump in the summer riots for walking across Lafayette Park with one uniformed military officer carrying a sidearm. Now, these people, fast forward to January 6th, were asking me for Abrams A1 tanks and belt-fed machine guns to turn downtown D.C. into downtown Kandahar.
That was after January 6th?
On January 6th.
But who is asking for that?
The folks in Congress
and the
D.C. Mayor.
But they rejected the help.
First, beforehand, right? On January 4th, on January 5th, rejected. On the morning of January 6th, still no request. In the afternoon of January 6th, when people started congregating around the Capitol, they started calling frequently and saying, where are you guys? Why aren't you guys here? And we're like, I don't have 20,000 people on a bus next door that I can move in. Had you told me 2 days ago when I asked, I would have staged them around the city and gotten them in there anyway.
And important for our audience to know, what was your title at the time? What were you doing?
So I was chief of staff at the Department of Defense, which means I had 3 million employees and I was in charge of the largest organization on planet Earth.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. With a no-fail mission. Like, do not fail to protect the United States of America, ever.
That'll get you up in the morning.
Yeah, it was pretty righteous.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, so some people are saying, though, that the defense secretary tape didn't sound very good. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
Chris Miller.
Yeah, so a listener that I really respect from Chicago, super smart guy on our team, he said, I agree, but the problem is the defense secretary tape didn't sound good.
And what happened was they did what they always do. The Jan 6 committee took snippets of it. Chris Miller was flat out asked, did the president order troops on January 6th? And he goes, no, the president didn't order it. I wouldn't have listened to that order. We had what we needed from days before. That's what I would have said under oath.
So are we talking order versus authorized? Is that really the crux of all this?
It's to me, it's like the central thesis to our republic. Do you want the United States military
ever? No, I get that. Now, I think this is really important.
To be a launching position for any commander-in-chief.
So then shouldn't Chris Miller then issue a clarification?
He doesn't need to. It's his testimony's there under oath, just like mine. And we've asked for our transcripts to be released.
So you testified in front of this committee?
Yeah, for 6 hours. Cost me $200,000. I was the first
Fight
guy.
Fight with cash.com, by the way.
No, I was the first person subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. The very first. And I said, I got no problem coming in. You didn't have to subpoena me. I gave them the exhibits. I gave them all the documents we're putting up on Fight with Cash for Free, the timelines we're talking about. They're like, we don't really care about these. And I was like, so you guys don't care about the truth? In 6 hours of testimony, I spent 1 or 2 hours talking about January 6th and 4 hours talking about Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, Iraq. And I was like, what does the January 6th committee care about? What jurisdiction do you have to talk about this stuff? It's a fishing expedition.
From cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts. And it really hurts. That's why I use Upside. Our team use Upside as well. Upside is an incredible application for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. It's easy to use, and Upside is not too good to be true. I've used it, and it works. Some of our team members use it as well. To get started, download the free Upside app in the Apple Store or Google Play. Use my promo code CharlieKirk and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business and pay as usual with a credit card or debit card and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app and use promo code CharlieKirk to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code CharlieKirk. I think some of our audience will be in the same position I'm in. I'm not that caught up on a lot of this. I've been watching the hearings. I've been just looking at it kind of from a periphery. Basically, I saw the headline. They're going to try to indict Trump from DOJ or investigating it. We did a little show on it. That's it. So I'm going to kind of be learning alongside of the audience. So just forgive my ignorance on some of this stuff, but we've been on a lot of other stories. So we have a piece of tape here. This is, okay, tell us who Chris Miller is.
Chris Miller was the acting Secretary of Defense at the end of the Trump administration when I was chief of staff. So he was the civilian in charge of the entire Department of Defense.
Got it. So this is a minute and 17 second clip. Mm-hmm. It's Chris Miller testifying in front of the January 6th committee. Mm-hmm. This is the full tape. We're going to play this and then tell us the significance of it, because at the surface, it looked like this made Trump look really bad.
Yeah.
Play cut 26.
So let me be clear here that since then, in February of 2021, Mark Meadows said on Fox News that, quote, even in January, that was a given. As many as 10,000 National Guard troops were told to be on the ready by the Secretary of Defense. Is there any accuracy to that statement?
I'm not from my perspective. I was never given any direction or order or knew of any plans of that nature. So I was surprised by seeing that publicly. But I don't know the context or even where it was. So, no, there was no. We obviously had plans for activating more folks, but that was not anything more than contingency planning. There was no official message traffic or anything of that nature.
Just so we're clear, you did not have 10,000 troops, quote, to be on the ready for January 6th, prior to January 6th.
A non-military person probably could have some sort of weird interpretation, but no, to answer your question, that was not part of my plan or the Department of Defense's plan.
So this sounds bad for Trump. Mm-hmm. Why am I wrong?
So because A, it's a snippet, but I'll take it in reverse, right? He's right. We couldn't have legally had 10,000 troops on the ready. National Guardsmen and women are everyday citizens, cops, doctors, teachers, home school nurses, whatever you. We have to pull them out of their everyday lives and bring them in. That's the only way to use domestic military law enforcement assistance, not the everyday military. And what Chris said is 1,000% accurate. We didn't have on the ready because we had no request from Bowser and Pelosi to do so. And going further into the beginning of Chris's statement, he's correct. The president did not order us. Had the president made that order and had Chris testified that he followed that order, Chris would have been breaking the law as the Secretary of Defense. So I couldn't agree more with this testimony. They, of course, left out the rest of it.
Yeah, but why is it that he didn't stop short and say, but the president ordered it, or the president authorized it, mm-hmm. which is the word again we're
authorized.
Using? Why didn't he say that?
He did, like 47 other times in that sworn testimony.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So it just so happens that little carve-out...
That's the one Liz Cheney chose.
But then where did they get this idea of 10,000 troops on the ready? Is that something Trump is saying
now? Yeah, so what had happened in January, the 3rd or the 4th, in the Oval Office was me, the SecDef, the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Chief of Staff to the President of the United States, and the President. And we were talking about some very high-tech, consequential overseas issue. As I said, no fail mission. So we were working through the echo of the whistle. At the end, the president goes, hey, do you guys have everything you need? And I'm, you know, paraphrasing here for the events surrounding January 6th. And we said, you know, sir, we're working up our contingency plans. He goes, okay, if you need them, you have up to 10 to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women. I, as a commander in chief, are giving the authorization. We said, rather that, sir, we put in place all our contingency plans. We went immediately to Mayor Bowser as the head of D.C. and the Capitol Police and Pelosi as the head of Congress and said, hey, we got 10 to 20K. You guys want them? They said no. Bowser put it in writing. Capitol Police put it in writing. All that stuff's available online.
So Trump could not have overrode them.
No.
It would not have been legal.
100% illegal. And Secretary Miller and I would have been like, we knew he wouldn't give us that order because we've worked with him. We were the guys that did the Baghdadi raid. We took out Soleimani. We brought hostages home. We know how the National Defense Authority works and how the chain of command works. There is people are like, oh, where's the memo from the Oval? There's no memo when Obama said kill bin Laden. There's no memo when Trump said take out Baghdadi. You put foot to ass and get it done. And then afterwards, you might write a story about it. But these people are lunatics when they're like, where's the side-by-side commentary? And I'm like, no, sorry, we were too busy protecting America.
Where Trump says, get it done, that's the order.
It's an order, yeah. You know, I mean, you know when the commander-in-chief tells you to do something in those situations. There's no ambiguity.
And so then you guys go did your job, but then Pelosi and Bowser said, we don't want the people.
We don't want them. They don't want the National Guard. They said, no, we have to respect that. That's the law.
It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say. Don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers. They're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with the problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this are helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, we are no longer allowing you to bank with us. Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually, and I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right, and that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever. Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com for a quick mortgage checkup. Use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord. They love America. And they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage-related. Stop using the banks who hate you, andrewandtodd.com. Okay, so let's go to This is the most amazing thing. I just love seeing people's reaction to this. One of the greatest pieces of cable television I've seen in quite some time. We'll start with Cut 11.
Are you planning to vote for Liz Cheney?
Can I cuss? Hell no.
Are you planning to support Liz Cheney?
Absolutely not.
What are your thoughts about Liz Cheney running for a fourth term?
Personally, I think she said three too many.
Keep in mind, in 2020, Donald Trump won about 70% of the vote in Wyoming. So Liz Cheney's work on the January 6th investigation isn't playing so well with many Wyoming voters.
She's done us dirty.
That's great. You're not wrong. That might be the best TV of the last few years.
It gets better. She's done us dirty. That should be a billboard that we should put in downtown Cheyenne.
I love
She's done us dirty.
Actually, you know what? That's a great idea. We should just put it next to Cheney's house that she doesn't live in.
Continue. Cut 23.
Here in Cheyenne, more than 1,600 miles from Washington, D.C., almost everyone we spoke with told us they believe Liz Cheney is too focused on Donald Trump and the January 6th committee and not paying enough attention to what they believe matters to the people here in Wyoming.
She doesn't know what her constituents want here anymore because she's lost touch with the values of the people.
I don't feel like she supports her people here in Wyoming anymore. The things that she's voting for don't really reflect what the people here in Wyoming feel.
Cash.
I'm semi-speechless. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. And look, Liz Cheney probably knows she's going to lose because she's going to run for president.
Oh, for what political party?
I don't know. The same, you know, neo-Republican party.
You know,
they
think Cash, it's interesting. Sorry to interrupt you, but there is this new genre of people that know they're going to lose but do it anyway. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, it's a Trump force genre. I mean, basically, Kitzinger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is that they want the book deals, the cable news stuff. Yeah. It's not even about the votes. It's just kind of become, it's kind of a niche profession.
It is. And CNN will hire her, MSNBC will hire her, and there'll be a talking head forever. I mean, it's not like Liz Cheney needs the money with Halliburton. You know, Kinzinger's in a different role, right? Like, that guy's going to get paid on his book deal, and he's going to get
Boeing,
paid on
Raytheon.
Yeah, he's going to go on the boards, and he's going to do all that. So these guys cash out, which is kind of disgusting, and it's almost as bad as insider trading. There should be a ban on, if you get the boot from Congress, you shouldn't be able to go, you know, right into the pockets of these guys
get paid. I have a contrarian opinion, which is that I think we could have a whole reform package, which is we must be much stricter on lobbying laws, and when you're meeting with them, how you're meeting with them, extremely strict. Must be much stricter on campaign finance. Yeah. I'm almost at the place, Cash, almost, where I think public financing of elections might be a good idea. I'm almost there.
Well, how do we get you there?
What?
How do we
Are
get you
there?
I think I'm there.
So tell me why. That's a big move for us conservatives to say something like that.
Because right now, I mean, I'm not even a political guy. I spent 16 years in government, mostly in national security in both Democrat and Republican administrations, right? But my biggest problem is the politicization of the national security apparatus. And how is that happening? From my roles, I've seen the lobbyist industry, the defense industrial complex pouring
the military
money
industrial complex
into our government through a variety of efforts. And all these people that you're talking about who get kicked out of Congress for failing, get hired by these guys, and the clock just keeps turning. And I can tell you, I can't tell you with specificity because I'm not allowed to, but I can tell you every year the Department of Defense writ large has a multi-billion dollar program that fails. Every year.
Probably more than one sometimes.
More, yeah. And then you know who always gets paid? The defense industrial complex, the lobbying industry, K Street, and all these people on TV and all the talking heads who support it. And you know what they do? They're the ones that spend big on elections. And that's why there needs to be a pivot.
And it's not just that. It's the same with the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, same deal.
Same with the banks. Same with the tech companies. It is so bad. And so anyway, what I was saying, though, is I could maybe publicly financing elections or having the limit be like $200 so that people can still raise grassroots dollars.
Yeah.
But then I think we should entertain paying members of Congress more.
I'm not opposed to that.
And I know that sounds contrarian. People say, oh, but it's like, well, if you think about it, if they earn $173,000 a year, which is a lot of money every year,
money.
That is. But if they're looking at that versus a $500,000 job, you're not going to get the best people running for office.
100%.
Or you get people that self-fund. And then they're able to game the system into government.
Well, that's what happens. Some of the biggest wealth in America exists in members of Congress.
Yes.
If you look at the top 50, like wealthiest people in Congress. They're like the top 250 wealthiest people in the country.
Yes.
And that drives people who probably would be better suited for those jobs out of those positions because they can't afford to support a family on $173,000. Yes. So I'm not opposed to it because a lot of the reasons people leave Congress to go to these fancy positions and sell out is because they need to make money and they can't make it by staying in Congress for 20, 30 years. Now, I also think there should be term limits, but that's their
fault. Oh, I agree. I'm not totally sold on paying members of Congress more, but I'm open to ideas how we could attract better people. The whole system is so completely broken from within. So the other kind of thing out there, there's a couple investigations going into Trump. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Georgia criminal investigation into Trump? Pence aides are testifying. They've impaneled the grand jury. What do you think?
I just don't. I mean, I think their game, the radical left, be it Georgia, the crazies at DOJ right now are running the same operation. They're going to publicly say we and do the mechanical operations to say we are investigating, we are investigating, we are investigating, and leak some information here and there about who's investigating, who's in the grand jury. And ultimately, I keep asking, you know, like people in Georgia, like, what's the crime? What do you investigate? Like when you impanel a grand jury, you can't just say, hey, I'm investigating Charlie Kirk for everything in the world. What's the crime?
But they do that anyway.
Yeah, we're all right. But
so this is the New York Times article. This Georgia prosecutor has Donald Trump in her sights and she's not stopping. By guess who? Norm Eisen. Remember him from the first impeachment of Donald Trump? And it says that here in the New York Times article, Miss Willis has operated with calculated urgency since she opened her investigation in February 2021. She's moved from building a prosecutor team to conducting voluntary interviews, to convening a special grand jury, to issuing those target letters to the Republican electors who, despite Mr. Trump's election loss in the state, 2,000 mules, covertly met to cast votes for him and submit an alternate electoral slate on December 14th. So the New York Times is trying to drum up this Georgia angle because, in your opinion, the DOJ angle is dead on arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
I that's what my take is on it. And I think the New York Times is drumming up more headline. Look, they just want a collection of headlines against Donald Trump, federal, state, local, what have you.
They also have New York, too.
You're being investigated. And what happened in the New York investigation, right?
It basically has fallen apart.
It's just the bottom collapsed. Literally fell out because what did they do? They impaneled a grand jury. They sent out subpoenas and they were supposed to be investigating this grand crime. And then it went away. It's the same sequencing. Georgia's doing the same thing, in my opinion. New York got a ton of headlines out of it. The media got a ton of play out of it. But now they've forgotten about it, and they've moved on to Georgia. They're going to move on to January 6th. And they're going to stay with January 6th till November, and then it's going to be – then that'll end.
I want to shift gears here. So you were the chief of staff to the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Is Nancy Pelosi making a mistake flying to the South China Sea to Taiwan?
Yeah, that's not – that's no bueno.
Tell me why.
Look, the CCP, ever since Joe Biden got in, first of all, whatever relationship we had with President Trump, which was way better than one we do now, just look at Putin. They don't care about us anymore. They don't listen to us. They literally, there's no threat this administration can make to them for them to be like, whoa, okay. So we've got a lot of action going on in the South China Sea. There's a lot of island and territorial problems over there, not to mention Taiwan. And what people keep, people keep propping up Taiwan as if the Chinese are going to invade. And I'm like, do any of you people have a map? You cannot land invade Taiwan. It's an island that is literally, you hit the shore and you got to go up 2,000 feet. So you have to do an aerial bombardment campaign of Taiwan. That will not happen because today's warfare is not fought traditionally like we did in World War II.
Kinetically, right.
It's kinetic. And so going back to your question, though, having Pelosi just kick these guys in the teeth and poke the dragon is not a good idea. You know, what happens if, and I don't, even me, I don't want anything to happen to her while she's over there. But that would be the worst type of situation. And she starts showing favoritism to the Taiwanese people. The CCP is already kicking our ass since Biden took over in the national security front. They're just going to double down and do more to steal our personal information via TikTok, to beat us in space, to defeat us underwater, to build superior aircraft and military performance gear. And why should we give them another reason to double down on it?
Yeah, I'm torn. I am. I'm no fan of Pelosi. I think the whole thing's a game. But if it were to be what they're telling us what it is, which I don't think it is, I think there's something deeper going on. Mm-hmm. I'm all for messing with the CCP. I think that they're
hate them.
They're Asian Nazis. Okay, let's go to play cut 27.
Repeatedly said that we oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We have said that we do not support Taiwan independence, and we have said that we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means. We have communicated this directly to the...
That is John Kirby saying we do not support Taiwan independence.
What is he talking about?
That's the official policy. So here's what I understand, is that the Biden regime says we don't support Taiwan independence, but then why is then Pelosi going to Taiwan?
Yeah, I actually had not heard that clip. So that's somewhat shocking for the spokesperson at the White House to be going off and saying that, while the person who's number three in the chain of command to be president of the United States.
That came out 10 minutes ago, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so our team's on it. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are totally on it. So I don't, it's just bad all around optics. Mm-hmm. And also, more importantly, it's just bad, in my opinion, for American national security for her to lay, for her to land there.
Would you feel comfortable if Trump was president?
Yeah, it's a different dynamic. That's what I keep coming back to these things, like, you know, Putin invading Ukraine. It didn't happen on Trump's watch, nor would it. You know, the Saudis allying themselves with Iran in our face, gas prices going through the roof because they don't care about us anymore. And the same thing with CCP and Xi Jinping. Look, Trump and him weren't buddies, but they actually had a mutual respect for each other, where Xi Jinping would be like, okay, this guy tells me he's going to gut our sanctions program, which he did, and cause their tariffs to just balloon. He knows that's a reality. With this guy, Biden, there's
but
no.
That sounds like a sea change of policy, saying we don't support Taiwanese independence.
Yeah, I think it is.
And that's a policy change.
Yeah, I have not heard that. As you said, your team's on it.
The Taiwan issue, I am the most torn on any issue recently, because I think the CCP is the great threat internationally
it
for
is.
Our liberty.
100%.
And I am not a neocon at all. I think Russia, total waste of time to do what we're doing in Ukraine. We should be friends with Russia. You know, Putin's a terrible person, but they could be a momentary strategic partner against China. At the same time, I don't trust our government to get into a conflict in the South China Sea
no.
and do it efficiently. Right, I'm very torn on this issue. Yeah. I do not have clarity on it at all.
But you're right. That's a tectonic diplomatic policy change to say we no longer support Taiwan. That is insane.
Kash Patel, everybody.
Thanks so much.
God bless you, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
The fight for our kids' education is so incredibly important. And I want to highlight a candidate for you that has my vote here in Arizona for superintendent of public instruction. She's running a great race and she's doing a great job. It's Sheree Sapir. Sheree, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your race and tell us what you plan to do if you become superintendent of public instruction in the beautiful state of Arizona.
Thank you. Well, it's been a fantastic experience running now for 17 months all over the beautiful state of Arizona, talking to the people, really understanding how important it is for parents, grandparents, and people who don't have children to make sure that our children are well educated, are filled with love of country, and are getting a shot, an opportunity for a better future. Right now, we know what's going on in our schools. It's a disaster. We're failing on every level. There is indoctrination going rampant in the schools in Arizona, unfortunately, with the LGBTQ ideology, gender ideology, critical race theory, equity, diversity, inclusion. It's just in every element of education. And the superintendent that we have right now has been a huge contributor to this disaster. And we must take her out of office in November.
Yeah. And so the race is tomorrow in Arizona. And on your website, you get straight to the point. You talk about social emotional learning, which is super important. Radical racial ideology, critical race theory, comprehensive sex education, all these different sorts of things. And it tomorrow, vote SAPIR for superintendent. And so, Sheree, let me ask you, what are some of the worst examples you've seen in Arizona that might disturb our audience?
Well, we have plenty of examples. The most of them, I think, you know, critical race theory is a big issue in the racial divide that they're creating. But I've become more aware of the biggest issue on hand, and it's the LGBTQ issues. We're looking at 25 to 30% of the children right now identify as another gender than the one that they were born in. That's excessive. This is not genetic. This is not physiological. This is taught. Mm-hmm. And our children are being incentivized by their teachers and their administrators. They're creating all these, sex groups and sex clubs in our schools, like GSA. The surveys, the data mining, they're literally asking our children Why are they heterosexual? Are they sure they need to be heterosexual? They're asking for the pronouns. When these children are 7 years old, I mean, I have three children under the age of 10. No individual on earth should come to my son and ask him, who's 7 years old, which pronouns you want to be referred by, or are you sure you want to be a boy? It's unacceptable. Meanwhile, our kids are illiterate. So at some point we have to say, even if you believe in these social justice issues, do it outside of the classroom. Let's make sure that our money is spent well on getting our children ready to compete on the world stage. And that's far from what's happening right now in our schools. And there's so many examples. I mean, it's just every single day I'm getting information from all over the states, from teachers, from parents, from grandparents, with assignments, with tests, with pornographic books that are given to our children to read as if it's the greatest literature out there. And it's not. And we have to stop this.
How can people support you? Call to action, big race tomorrow. Tell us about it.
Let's win this. This should transcend any political affiliations. When it comes to children, I call my campaign Children Rescue Mission, and I mean that. Our children's innocence is something that we must fight for. It doesn't matter what you feel about gun laws. It doesn't matter what you feel about abortion. It's our children, their innocence, and their future. And if we don't rally behind them, we're going to lose this generation. So SapirAZ.com, vote for me tomorrow. Let's win this for our children and make some substantial change. We know we must.
Very good. Sapir for Arizona, SAPIR on the ballot, SAPIR. God bless you. Thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.